It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Manyepa, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Lovely, lovely. Joining us now on the line is Pastor Brighton Manyepa, talking to us about understanding regret. Once again, Pastor, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Let's get into it. First, define for us what regret is. What is regret?
All right. Regret is when, you know, you have missed an opportunity and you are kicking yourself on missing that opportunity. That feeling that you have of missing out is regret. And or another way of explaining regret is when you do something wrong, you don't do something right.
Right.
And you feel you really messed up and you want to correct, or you don't have an opportunity to correct, then you start to feel that feeling of regret. So regret is a feeling of guilt.
Okay, all right. And then from a Christian perspective, how would you define regret from a Christian perspective?
From a Christian perspective, regret, I think it's also almost one and the same thing, because
okay,
the word comes from a Christian background, comes from, it's a religious word.
Okay.
Whereby one feels guilty and they want to correct where they've erred.
Yeah.
Or where they've missed the mark.
Okay. Okay. So what then is the difference between the feelings of guilt and remorse and regret? Is that still the same thing?
As I've said, the word regret now, you know, covers a lot of things. It doesn't cover only sin. You can miss an opportunity and just regret on why you missed that opportunity, because it was an opportunity of a lifetime.
Okay.
Yet feeling remorse, it narrows down to, you know, to having erred, having, you know, done something wrong, and then, you know, you start feeling remorse. But remorse and regret have one thing, have one sense in them. But regret is actually a bigger word. It encompasses a lot of things.
Okay. Okay. So what are some of the common sources of regret in people's lives? What is it that people regret most in their lives?
You know, number one, we regret on missed opportunities.
Mm.
Number two, we regret on the things that we did wrong and couldn't find an opportunity to solve them. And number three, we regret mainly on the things that we have already done and we still have that guiltiness in us that causes regret.
Right.
So yeah, mainly these are the things. We you go out, you go and drink alcohol. Maybe you're not a drinker, you're a Christian, you go and drink. And then there are consequences that happen. After that, you start regretting,
yeah,
you know, to say, hey, why did I do this?
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. And so when somebody is regretting their missed opportunities or that whatever they have done, how do you tell that somebody is really in a state of regret? How do these regrets typically manifest?
Thank you so much, my brother. You know, regret is very painful.
Mm.
It's very painful because nobody has got an answer except yourself.
Right.
Yeah. No one has got an answer to what you're suffering from, you know, because regret is a disease as well, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's mental trauma. So you can tell that someone here has got, is traumatized, you know, he has regrets, you know.
Mm.
Even in marriage, you know, there are people who got married to wrong people.
Right.
You know, thinking they were doing the right thing and thinking the rest of their lives. You can see by their demeanor in that marriage, by
right,
their energy output, you know, that, hey, this one is probably regretting being in this relationship.
Right. Right, yeah. Right. I see. So can you, let's move to the Bible now. Can you share a biblical story or a passage that deals with the theme of regret?
Well, the one that quickly comes into mind, you know, it's of the parable of the prodigal son.
Okay.
Number one, yeah. Another one is of David, you know. It's more popular when he killed when he took Bathsheba and he killed
Uriah.
Bathsheba's husband. Uriah, yes,
right.
Thank you. You know, and he was told, you know, at first he had no problem, he had no issues about it. But when Bathsheba got pregnant now, he wanted to cover that up, you know, and he killed Uriah. He had no problem about, you know, of killing Uriah until Nathan came and pointed out
absolutely
his guilt, you know. Yeah, his issues. When those issues were pointed out now, that's when he started regretting. That's when he started feeling remorse.
Right.
And, you know, yeah. And now he got it to say, you know what, the child that you have with Bathsheba is going to die. And he had that a connection to this pregnancy. He loved the pregnancy, but the child was to die, you know. And he started regretting, you know, the death of the child, you know. He was now full of that pain, you know. Mm-hmm. We have so many stories. We also have the story of Cain, you know.
Right.
The story of Cain. Yeah. When Cain killed Abel and God was interrogating him, you know, he was now guilty and he was now feeling remorseful and not remorseful but regretting, you know.
Right.
He was now regretting why he did it. He did it out of jealousy, out of anger. You know, so we have so many stories actually from Genesis. Even the devil, actually, you know, he regretted why he sinned.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I was reading this book by Ellen White where, the devil wanted to repent, but the time for his repentance was over.
Mm.
He could not repent anymore. He had exceeded grace.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So
from Genesis to Revelation, it's
right.
All about people who err and regret, and then what then should you do after that?
So I'm curious, this is a question that I always ask pastors when they talk about the story of David. Because as we read the narrative, this is a David who was perfectly okay with taking another man's wife. Perfectly okay,
yes.
Putting together a ploy to kill that man. Perfectly okay, bringing in the state's army to put that man in so that he can use the army to kill him. And then he uses the army general to arrange the death of that. All these people are brought into an act of murder. He was perfectly okay with it. Even when he had been told that the man is dead, there was no regret there. He was okay. He decided, I'm now going to take his wife and continue with the adultery. And he married her and continued committing adultery with a married woman. And then only when the prophet comes to tell him that he has done wrong, does he regret? What exactly was he regretting? The wrong that he did, or that now God has caught him in the act? I'm bothered, Pastor, by people who are going to say, I am sorry, only when they get caught. Before they got caught, they were arrogant.
Yeah.
So my question is, what exactly was he regretting? Was he regretting getting caught, or the wrongs that he has been doing and that he's continuing to do? Because he didn't stop. When he married Bathsheba, he didn't stop. He didn't say, I'm going to give her up because I stole her. He didn't. He continued. He stayed with that woman that was stolen. So what exactly gives us the impression that he regretted?
I picked these stories, these three stories systematically, you know, Cain,
right.
David, and the prodigal son.
Right.
You know, because when these guys were doing it, they were fully conscious of what they were doing.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And they were enjoying what they were doing.
Hmm.
But in the end, especially with the prodigal son, it comes out nicely that when he came back to his senses,
right,
you know. Yeah, when he came back to his senses, he started thinking soberly, he started regretting, you know,
yeah.
And he decided to come back to his father. So the issue here is about the conscience.
Mm.
You know, it's about what do you know? It's about, you know, that does your conscience, does your heart still beat?
Where
you
was know? David's conscience, Pastor?
Fear?
My question is about David. Yeah, where was his conscience? Because all along, he knew that he was still continuing to sleep with a married woman. All along, he knew that he was going to kill that man. And he continued, after the man was dead, he continued sleeping with her. The Bible closes the story of David with that woman, that stolen woman, still in David's bedroom. My question is, where do we see the regret there? Is the regret being caught or the wrong that he continued even after he was caught? Where was the regret?
Yeah, you know, now I wanted to come there and say, maybe before I go to that particular question that you're asking,
right?
There's something that I want to bring out here that I want to shed out, shed light on that what we call the fear of the Lord.
Yeah,
the fear of the Lord.
Right.
You know, we can live without it. It is only the fear of the Lord that prompts our conscience. That makes our heart beat when we want to do evil. So when our conscience is feared and the fear of the Lord is not in us,
right,
we can do anything. We can do anything. And without shame, we can do anything. Without fear, without regret, you know. So only until the fear of the Lord is in us, only until our conscience is quickened, you know, by the word of God, that's when we can now say, oh, this is not right. This is good, you know.
Mm.
And what does God want me to do from where I am, you know.
Mm.
Now, it's not one size fits all. I want now to answer your question. It's not one size fits all how we respond to regret, how we respond to the when the fear of the Lord is in us, you know.
Mm.
For David, of course, we cannot say it was prescriptive. No, it was just descriptive. You know, it was describing to us what had happened. Remember, God said to David, if you needed a wife, you were supposed to just have told me that you need another wife, and I would have given you. You know, not that God condones polygamy. Not that God is saying, I love it. It was just a description of what was happening then, you know. And for David to make things right, God had to kill that son, you know, in order to appease this mess that David had done.
My question is on his regret. My question is on his regret, Pastor.
Yes. The regret comes on, you know, being remorseful before the Lord. The regret then came when he was told that you stole someone's sheep, family sheep.
So had he not been told, he was not going to be remorseful. There was not going to be any regret had he not been told.
Yes.
So he's not regretting what he had done wrong. He's regretting being told.
Yes.
Ah.
Actually, you know what? That's why we need to preach the gospel. That's why people need Jesus out there. We need to preach. We need to prophesy so that people's conscience may be quickened.
Oh.
They can only be quickened by the word of the Lord and
right.
nothing else.
Right.
When people hear God, they will start to regret their actions.
Mm.
When people see Jesus, when the devil saw Jesus dying on the cross, you know, and he was told it is finished, it was only at that particular time he realized how much damage he had caused, you know.
Mm.
So it is only when not only, of course, sometimes when we see the evilness in what we have done,
right,
then you know we can regret.
Okay.
Sometimes we may not see the evilness in what we are doing until we are told. So there are some people who need to be told that, you know what, this is wrong.
Wow.
Because for politicians like David to kill someone, You know, it's not a big deal. You know. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on. Maybe
they killed. Maybe they killed so many people without the Bible recording.
Right.
So it was not a big deal until it was now Uriah and God had to come through.
Yeah. I hear you. It breaks my heart, though. Okay, so how did the Bible differentiate between healthy regret and unhealthy regret? Or are they one of the same?
That's the most painful part about this whole thing, you know, because many people, the unhealthy regret come because of the third force, which is other people that we may have wronged or that would have witnessed our wrongs.
Okay.
You know, the pressure they give us, you know, the pressure they caused in our conscience to say, how can I appease these people?
Right.
There are some wrongs that we cannot appease, that we just have to live with, you know, and that we just need to forget, you know. When you kill someone, you can't bring those people back.
Yes.
But the third force make you regret and make you kill yourself or die out of guiltiness.
Mm.
So, you know, healthy regret is when people are educated to know that Jesus carried all our burden. Jesus paid it all. You know, He paid it all. There is nothing that we can do today to out-sin God's grace. If we can understand what grace is, it's cheap, it's for free, you know? And many of us struggle on that, on accepting that grace is cheap, is that cheap,
yeah.
It's for free. You just accept it by faith. We struggle to accept that. We want to break a leg in order to feel forgiven.
Right.
We want our hand cut because that's the hand that is stolen.
Right.
We want it to be cut off. So that we feel at least we've done something. You know, God is not, like other gods which want to be appeased by our blood for us to die.
Yeah.
Judas Iscariot did that.
Yeah.
He failed to accept this grace.
Right.
You know, he thought, I can only forgive myself if I kill myself.
Oh.
And yet he was now taking away the power of the cross.
Oh, Uncle Sia.
Guess what? Judas hangs himself just next to the cross. Jesus was dying here, while just at the bottom of the hill where Jesus was dying, Judas was killing himself. He wanted to nullify Jesus' death. You know, so everyone who commits suicide today is nullifying the death of Christ.
Yeah,
you see.
So what is the best way? I think we're running out of time, Mfundis. What is the correct way of dealing with regret?
The best way of dealing with regret is acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, getting out of denial, you know.
Right.
Many of us, we live lives whereby we think we cannot sin. Many of us, we have set standards so high. And when we fall from those standards, it's hard for us to forgive ourselves.
Right.
You know, I have so many brothers who were vegetarian. And the moment when they impregnated somebody, they stopped even coming to church. They became worse than they were.
Right.
Because they could not forgive themselves.
Right.
So the first thing is forgiveness.
Right.
Acceptance. Get out of denial, you know. Look at Christ and look at the cross. What was really happening there? The cross was paying all our sins, everything that we may think we have done wrong. Christ paid it all.
Okay. All right, let's leave it there, Funis. Let's leave it there. A lot is coming down now over. All right, Funis, thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. We'll talk again on Thursday.
Thank you so much.
It's a very heartbreaking conversation we're having, and a lot is coming on me. Appreciate your time, Funis. We'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you so much. I would love us to, you know, to focus on the other aspect, the social aspect of regret.
All right.
We were focusing on the spiritual aspect.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day, brother.
Okay. Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.